a single soul. Reaching a world and stepping in closer. CGN TV.
Hello and welcome to Living Life. May you be deeply enriched in your time in God's Word today. Today is April 24th and we are starting Micah chapter 4. If you've been continuing with us in Micah, we saw that the prophecy of Jerusalem is a complete destruction. Zion will be plowed and Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble. Temple will be full of thickets, an image of a garbage dump. This is very discouraging. This is such a downer that everything will be in ruins. And yet, God's story never ends here. God's story never ends in destruction. Someone said if you were to summarize the Bible in two words, it would be, but God, but God. Yes, our story's a mess. Yes, there's a lot of brokenness. Yes, our life is falling apart. But God, God is up to something. God is always redeeming and restoring our story. So what does God do? What's the prophecy? What's a beautiful prophecy of Micah and what does he promise? Let's look at this beautiful picture of redemption and restoration that God promises through the prophecy of Micah. Let's look at the passage together.
Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever.
Today's passage talks about this beautiful prophecy, a poem of restoration and redemption of God's people in Israel and Jerusalem. Verse 1 talks about this elevation of the Temple Mountain, going up so high that it's higher than any mountains in the world. Now, it's not talking about, it's physically, literally going to be higher than Mount Everest or any other mountains in the world, but it's talking about the spiritual status and the splendor and the majesty of God's temple being restored to Jerusalem. And this presence of God will be there. God's going to fill it with his presence that is going to be a meeting place between heaven and the earth. And so this is a glorious picture because in verse 3, verse 2, it talks about all nations flocking and streaming towards God's temple mount once again. Look at verse 2. It says, "Many nations will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his way so that we may walk in his path.'" So because the ultimate judge and the ruler sits on the throne in Jerusalem now, all nations are flocking to Jerusalem. And not only that, there will be no more need for fights and wars and battles amongst the nations. In verse 3, it talks about there's no longer needs for swords or spears. There's no more need for guns or, cannons or missiles, nuclear missiles, because there will be perfect peace amongst the nations. No more wars, no more fighting, no more battle, and no more fear. And this is an amazing, beautiful promise. The big question is, when is this going to happen? When is this amazing promise going to be fulfilled? We haven't seen the perfect fulfillment of this promise yet. And yet, this Micah's prophecy finds partial fulfillment when Jesus Christ comes to this earth. Christ came to be the intersection between heaven and the earth. He came to be the ultimate temple. He came to Jerusalem, and through him, people can experience the glory of God, the presence of God that the temple provided for the people. And in a sense, the prophecy of Micah finds partial fulfillment in Jesus Christ, and yet Jesus was crucified, he was raised up on the cross, he was lifted up, and he was raised up from the dead, and now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. The new temple of Jerusalem is high and lifted up in Jesus Christ. But also, this prophecy is going to be fulfilled in the consummation of history when the new Jerusalem, it talks about in Revelation, new Jerusalem will come down from heaven in Revelation chapter 21. The heaven and earth will finally join together as one, and God's space and man's space will no longer be separate, but God's space and man's space will be collided and become one, united. So Revelation is an interesting book because, John, Apostle John, who writes Revelation, he is, pleading with the church, the early church, and the early church is going through so much persecution. They lost all hopes. They were losing their homes during the time of Roman Emperor Domitian. They're losing their homes and their assets, even their health, their relatives, their lives all together. And Christians were literally the scums of the earth, and they were being persecuted so severely. People were cheering as they were being killed in a crowded Colosseum, and Christians were being ripped apart by the lion in the stadium. These Christians were used as human lampposts, and they were being lit up on fire to death. And if you're Apostle John, what can you possibly write to these people that will give them a hope, that will give them a hope for the future, that will give them a strength to face all these outstanding trials and hardships? And the answer is new heavens and new earth. That gave them the ultimate hope. This was the ultimate game changer. This vision renewed their hope. They weren't living for some abstract concept, oh, it's going to get better after this. Oh, we're just going to go to a better place. No, their hope was a living hope that gave them strength to face all the trials and hardships in the present. And because they believe in the new heavens and new earth, these early Christians, they faced the trials with so much hope and joy. They faced tortures and even death with unyielding joy and confidence. They were singing songs. The historians record that they were singing songs. They were singing praises as they were ripped apart by lions and the gladiators in the stadium. As they were being burnt alive, they were singing and praising God. They were worshiping God as they were losing their lives. This kind of faith, unshakable, unyielding faith, shocked the whole Roman Empire. And they were asking questions, what's wrong with these people? What hope can possibly give them, would infuse you with so much strength and so much power to resolve that not even fear of death can shake them? What kind of hope can do that to them? And the answer is the hope of new heaven and new earth. And so Micah's prophecy is not just a feel-good story or just some passage to just kind of, just pass by. This is a living hope that God is going to come and his presence will fill New Jerusalem. The heaven is going to meet the earth and he is going to come and eradicate all evil. And that gives us so much hope today for the present. Some years ago, I had a chance to visit a third world country in a slum, a very impoverished, destitute village. And, I had a chance to speak to them, just a sermon. And I was wondering and questioning what sermon or message can I speak to them that will bring them hope and encouragement. I talked to them about the love of God and, how we must abide in His love. But, You know, I can tell in their eyes, they're just so hopeless. Their only hope is to get out of this village and pursue a better living. And I can see in their eyes, you know, they're just not listening. Nothing is really registering in their hearts. So I really prayed and sought God, and I started speaking about the eternity, the hope of eternity, that this life is not the whole life. This life is only temporary in light of eternal promise that we have in Him. And when I spoke that message, I can see the hope coming alive in their eyes, and they were being lit up with this hope and encouragement. And I pray that for you today, that you would have the hope come alive in your hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the hope of new heaven and new earth. May this hope come alive in our hearts, that we would just face the present, whatever life throws at us, with confidence and joy in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching a further and stepping in closer, CGM.